The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in this morning, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine, so much more than a producer, alongside as well. Still to come this hour, we will talk with Jason Weingarten on baseball, get into more of the MLB postseason as all the game twos, or the games two, however you're supposed to say that, happened today. Another quadruple header. What a great week of sports this is. Maybe my favorite, with baseball postseason and such volume of baseball postseason during the week. And then, of course, football, college, and pro on the weekend. But always a pleasure to have this gentleman on, and thrilled to have him on. He's kind enough to come on sort of every quarter. I know 17 games now makes it a little janky, but roughly every quarter of the NFL season. He also does a couple megapods a year, one in the regular season for sure, if we can't get him for the postseason. It is the creator of DVOA. He was the founder of Football Outsiders and now is the chief analytics officer. That is the title he's going by at FTN. It's Aaron Schatz, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Aaron?
I am good, man. It's been an interesting season, but I'm enjoying it.
It has been. It's been great. I want to get into all of it. First thing I want to say, because I texted you the other night, I'm watching Sunday Night Football, and was it Sunday Night Football, I believe it was? Yes. And yes. Chris Collinsworth references, obviously, because Baltimore was playing, he references the fact that Lamar Jackson was just one vote shy of a unanimous MVP. And the way he worded it sounded like he was about to say your name, but then he came out with the other person that you voted for, which was Josh Allen. Did you think for a moment he was going to say your name?
I thought it was possible. I was like, oh, look, they're talking about me. And I thought it was possible that he was going to say something about, you know, the guy who voted for Josh Allen was an analytics guy or something, yeah. You know, just to sort of specify what kind of guy voted for Josh Allen over Lamar Jackson. I got a couple of, you know, notes about that game, certainly for people who don't understand how years work, right? I mean, the vote on MVP for 2023 was based on 2023, not 2024. And obviously, Josh Allen did not look good on Sunday.
That's right. It's a different year, everybody. That's interesting that you got a couple notes about that. People trying to corroborate things or actually refute things. Let's start with, you came on in July, I believe it was, or early August, one or the other, here in the off season, and through the FTN almanac the FTN football preview, you had some stuff to say on the show. And I remember you came strong with a bunch of stuff, and I'm curious how you feel about a couple of these things through four games or how it projects moving forward. Let's start with the fact that you came on here and you said, hey, New Orleans isn't as bad as people think, and you even thought that they had value in the division market. How do you feel about that through four games?
Yeah, I feel pretty good about that. New Orleans has been better, actually, than even I expected, certainly. This weekend was not good for the idea of them winning the division because they lost by 1 point in a game with a lot of fluky stuff, like the muffed punt recovered for a touchdown, and Tampa Bay won. And Tampa Bay looks stronger than expected. But I do think that Atlanta has been a little bit of a disappointment to the people that were really high on them. And I still think that New Orleans has played like the best team in the division. In fact, I mean, this is a little tweak because even with opponent adjustments, the opponent adjustments for Carolina are not strong enough for the first two games because Bryce Young was so bad. But right now, New Orleans is the fourth best 2-2 team in DVOA history.
Wow. Didn't we have I thought we flashed up another graphic of yours where someone was even higher than them through four.
Baltimore is the second best 2-2 team in DVOA history. So both Baltimore and New Orleans have played much better than their 2-2 records. And I think people realize that about Baltimore, especially after the win over Buffalo, but not necessarily realize that about New Orleans.
Makes sense. All right. That's interesting. Best two of the four best 2-2 teams.
Yeah, when I first put out this table, New Orleans is missing because when I first put this table online, which is where you got it from, I was missing New Orleans from it. But New Orleans actually slots in fourth ahead of the 2005 Seahawks.
Interesting. Okay. So another thing you came on here and said, well, first of all, just referencing Atlanta, I think you came on before they acquired Judon and Simmons. So at the time, yes. You're like, it's the worst defense in the league. But then they made those acquisitions. One other thing that sticks out. You said New England, because everybody thought, including myself, New England was going to be god awful. They have won football games here, though.
Yeah, they won, and they came close to beating Seattle as well. They've been terrible the last 2 weeks. But I think being terrible against San Francisco, even with San Francisco's injuries, is not like a shock. They're having a lot of injuries. Duggar is out now. Juwan Bentley is out. David Andrews, the center, now looks like he's out for the season, and their offensive line is horrific. I still think the Patriots are more of a 5-12 bad than a 2-15 bad.
Okay.
Right? I think they're going to be competitive against teams like Miami without Tua and Tennessee and Jacksonville. And I think that they're going to end up winning 5 or 6 games. But with all the injuries that they have, that may not be right.
Yeah, I made it sound like they won 2 games. They are 1-3. And I remember before the season, you were like, they could win 7. But now with all the injuries, talking about 5-12
right. team. Here and it was 7 before the Judon trade. It was 6. I had 6.5 after the Judon trade. Now it's, I'm hoping for 5.
Here was the last thing I lied. One more thing from the preseason. You also said, because I remember this very clearly, you said Chicago and Indianapolis may be expecting too much from their young quarterbacks right away. That might be your best call so far.
Yeah, well, what I said was you have to expect a rookie quarterback to be bad. And I put Anthony Richardson in that group because he had hardly played. I said it's probable that one of them will be good, but we have no idea which one. And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
One of them is good. It's not the one I would have expected it to be perfectly honest. Not because I have anything against Jaden Daniels, but because I was very skeptical of Cliff Kingsbury as the offensive coordinator.
That's right.
But there's no bad. I mean, Jaden Daniels has been absolutely phenomenal. And Chicago and Denver have disappointed. And Indianapolis only hasn't disappointed because they got a game out of Flacco.
All right, we talked about the 2-2 teams that are sort of historical. You go all the way back to 1979 now with this?
Yep.
Okay. What an amazing project that this has gotten you all. You actually got play-by-play all the way back to 1979. It's amazing.
We'll have 1978 next offseason.
Yeah. Wow. I thought we hit a wall. You found a new sort of way to get these?
There's a couple of games we can't find from 1978. There's a week 1 game where because the Pope was in America, the game was preempted and therefore like no one has it on video. We may be able to go before 1978, but we can definitely do 78.
Did we used to preempt NFL games for the Pope being in America? Wow.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe not in Chicago and St. Louis, but in other markets. And no one in Chicago and St. Louis seems to have taped it. So,
all right. Well, let's go to your entire DVOA rankings through week 4 in the National Football League. Who's your best? Who's at the top?
Number one right now is the 4-0 Minnesota Vikings. I've got my Minnesota little people right here.
Look at that. There you go. What year is that from?
They're ready for the season. Minnesota's defense has been number one this year. Really good.
Okay, Minnesota followed by the Ravens. The Saints are third. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, again, like I said, even though I added opponent adjustments this week, the fact is Carolina was so much worse in the first 2 weeks than the second 2 weeks that you're sort of like overrating the Chargers and the Saints because they played the Bryce Young Panthers. But the Saints have been really good.
I'm looking at the rest of this top 10. Seahawks 4, Lions 5, Bills 6, Niners 7. Of course, they had some injuries in some games. Steelers 8, Chiefs 9, Packers 10. Let's talk about the Steelers for a second. That's all defense there?
Yeah, that's one of the things I was wrong about in the preseason is that we had the Steelers defense regressing towards the mean, and the Steelers defense has, in fact, been really good. And Justin Fields has been all right, which is much better than I would have expected, given his first 3 years. He looks like a real live NFL starting quarterback. Not a good one, but an average one, which is much better than he had been in the past.
Now, obviously, these are reflections of what's happened already in the first 4 games. Is it your sense that this is something that will be sustainable for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I mean, I still feel like we have more knowledge about Justin Fields from 3 years than we do from 4 games. And I do feel like he's going to come back to earth a little bit. But, I think it's likely that the defense being good, the defense has been good every year. So I think it's probable that I was wrong about the regression and their defense is still good.
Who's at the very bottom of your list here, Aaron?
The last place team right now is the Cleveland Browns.
Wow.
And Miami is 31st, which is a shock. But their defense has been bad and their offense has been terrible, except for week one. And Tua was bad, and then Tua got hurt, and it's been terrible, really awful since then. And then Jacksonville is 30th, New England 29th, and Carolina 28th.
The Cleveland thing is fascinating to me because, again, I'm down on – I mean, I've said a couple times this week, I think Miami might end up being the worst team. But Cleveland, I mean, is that just a full comprehensive fail? Or what's the part? Is it Deshaun Watson starts that explanation, I guess?
Oh, absolutely. It starts with Deshaun, the fact that at this point, Deshaun Watson is never going to be the guy that he was. But also, they've had injuries on the offensive line. And their defense, which was supposed to be among the best in the league, has been very average, which I think will regress. I think that between the talent they have on defense, even though Myles Garrett is dealing with some injuries, and the fact that Jim Schwartz is good, I think their defense will return to being at least a top 10 defense. But their offense is such a black hole that it's not going to matter.
All right. Aaron is kind enough to stick around for a couple segments with us every time when we do the quarterlies. This is no different. He is an awards voter as well. And there's only 50 guys and girls who vote on these things. There's only 50 votes for NFL awards. Different ranking systems for each. We'll see if we can pry some thoughts out of Aaron on that. And then look into if there's a unit or two that has stood out. All granular from the perspective of DVOA, his proprietary stat, coming back on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A Numbers Game has a special offer this week only. You could score 40% off our football season special when you use promo code ANG. Sign up now, get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl, including daily best bets, 19 hours of live programming, proven betting systems, and exclusive betting splits. Save 40% off the football season special this week only when you sign up and use promo code ANG, as in A Numbers Game. This offer expires on October 7th, just 5 days from now, so do not wait. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. There's VSIN.com/subscribe. VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Aaron Schatz, kind enough to hang with us for a second segment. He, again, is the chief analytics officer at FTN, the creator of DVOA, again, which looks at football, the NFL, on a play-by-play level, every single play, all the way back to 1979 and going back further in history. We should point out again the 91 Washington Redskins and the 2007 Patriots, depending on how you look at it, with postseason or without, the greatest teams of all time. Aaron comes to us once again, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Before I forget, Aaron, where can people access all your stuff the best?
Sure. FTNFantasy.com is the site. We do a lot more than fantasy, though. We do DFS optimizers. We do betting suggestions. We have DVOA. My site is FTNFantasy.com/DVOA. You'll find all the content there by me, Brian Knowles, Alex Blickle, Scott Spratt, et cetera, that's DVOA related. And then you can expand from there to all the other stuff that we have at FTN.
All right. Last few questions about DVOA, and then I want to get to award stuff. Where do the Washington Commandos fall on your list?
Yeah, so the Commanders are surprising because we don't have them number one on offense. I actually wrote about this a little bit yesterday. Reasons why EPA stats have them as like a legendary almost offense, and we have them second behind Baltimore, like still really good. But you know, there's a few things. For example, they've recovered all of their own fumbles. The only interception that Daniels threw had no return. So these things mean more in EPA than they do in DVOA. They're 30th on defense. So if you look at drive stats, they're kind of amazing. Washington has more than 8 yards per drive, more than any other offense. And they have allowed more than 6 yards per drive, more than any other defense. Oh, it's an amazingly one-sided team.
Oh, man. Which feels like they're the most over team for bettors. They feel like just a natural over team in a way that we've never seen through four games. A good offense and a terrible
Especially
defense.
Especially that the rest of the league is down this year. Washington is like, here are the points.
Yeah. both ways. We did get one question about that. But oh, before I do this, before we get to the awards, is there a unit, then you just alluded to Baltimore having the best offense, is there a specific unit, offense, defense, special teams, which is like an outlier through 4 weeks?
I mean, the Vikings defense is historically pretty good after 4 weeks. And I think the surprising is the Chargers and Broncos defenses being really top five, which is surprising for both.
Okay. Okay. You are an awards voter in the National Football League. These are Associated Press awards, and you are one of the 50 who votes on these things. We have a question from the numbers guys via Twitter who says, can you ask Aaron if Jaden Daniels is a play for MVP? Suppose he extrapolates his current numbers over the next 13 weeks. Well, if you say it that way.
Yeah, if he continues on this pace, he'll absolutely be among the top five quarterbacks, which means he absolutely is in the discussion for MVP. I think the two things I'm not thinking about who I'm going to vote for at this point, but I think the two things that stand out from early in the seasons is that Daniels is a real candidate and that Brock Purdy stands out more than he has even in the past because he's done what he's doing this year despite not getting yards after the catch the way he has in the past and despite having the injuries that he's been dealing with among other members of his offense that he hasn't dealt with in the past, that Purdy looks more real, I think, than he did last year.
Ladies and gentlemen, that feels like no matter what we say from this point forward, that's going to be the biggest nugget betting wise with Aaron here today. That is, again, Will Hill was on the show talking about Purdy for MVP also. I was a huge Purdy guy last year. I had a ticket on him. Obviously, that blew up in flames with the Ravens game. But Brock Purdy looks better this year. Like that game, the game they lost to the Rams, he looked spectacular in defeat. Brock Purdy right now is still at 16-1 over at DraftKings for MVP. Now, let me just say this. Let me get this clarified, too, because we're going to have many people asking about this. You're a voter. You know how this goes down. MVP is, unless somebody does something ridiculous at another position, is generally a quarterback award, right?
Unless they change the name of it, yeah.
An offensive player of the year is the depository for anybody else who's not a quarterback on offense?
That's how I vote, yes.
That's how you vote. Okay. What about comeback player of the year, which obviously you were kind enough to come on when you were on, I think it was Super Bowl week, where you told us, hey, this language is going to change for comeback player of the year, and it did right after that. Could DeMar Hamlin be considered for that this year, given the new language?
That's an interesting question because he came back last year. The actual comeback from the injury was last year, but this year he's playing. So I think no, because the comeback from the injury was last year. He would have been considered last year. But I don't know. It's an interesting question because he barely played last year.
Right. And
like he played, but he barely played.
But the language has to have missed games because of .. Right. He has the ultimate.
Yeah, the Darnold. I'm sorry, but those Darnold odds are from people who don't understand the new.
Let's throw that up again on the screen. This is what Aaron's referring to. What he's referring to is for comeback player of the year right now, Aaron Rodgers is the short shot at +140. Sam Darnold is right behind him at +250. So you're saying no chance for a guy like Darnold.
If we all follow what the AP told us to follow, then Darnold is the old way, the like, oh, here's a most improved player. Darnold wasn't injured like Rodgers and Burrow and Kyler Murray and Dobbins and Cousins. And so many of the players on this list were injured. Like Darnold is just coming back from being with the Jets,
How we like to say it on this show is, Aaron, is he's just coming back from sucking. That's how we usually say it in sort of a flippant way. But that is that there's wisdom in that, right? So that is no longer so that's the thing. The NBA has their award is called Most Improved. This is not that anyway, and there should be no bad interpretation of that.
Yeah, we've been told this year that it should be based on a player who comes back from an injury or some other, off-field issue or something like that. It's not for a most improved player who just happened to be bad at his previous stop. And by the way, Darnold wasn't bad at his last two stops. He wasn't bad in San Francisco. He wasn't bad in Carolina. He was bad years ago in the Jets.
Okay, let's say, let me just caveat. I know this is only four games. You haven't even thought about awards, but I'm just going to sort of pry a little bit on this and just try to get into your brain. If it was now, through a, you know, roughly a quarter, just shy of a quarter of the NFL season, and we're thinking about offensive player of the year, what does your instinct tell you? That who would that be?
Golly. I don't know.
Kamara? Kamara, maybe?
Saquon? No, Kamara takes a huge hit from opponent adjustments.
Oh, okay.
Saquon, who's been the top receiver this year? Nico Collins?
Nico Collins, yeah.
Maybe I'll be a goofball and vote for Trent Williams. Somebody needs to vote for, one of the great over 35 seasons of all time. Right?
Okay,
Trent Williams.
Let's talk about that. You just said that would be you being a goofball. Would there be enough goofballs in the group of 50 to make something like that actually happen?
I doubt it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we had one of our favorite guests who's coming up, Jason Weingarten, for a whole year. Who was the lineman on the Giants who had cancer and came back for a whole year? He was like, Gates. Was it Nick Gates? Was that his name?
Yeah. For comeback player.
Yeah.
Of the year.
Yeah. He was like going really crazy about that. We're like, yeah, we're like, no, Jason, there's not going to be enough people. Okay. Same question for defensive player of the year. Like, who has stood out through 4 weeks to you?
Oh, I honestly don't
know. Okay.
I've seen some stats about Patrick Surtain, but I haven't had a chance to run my own stats about Patrick Surtain to feel like I would do him. Fred Warner, I think, has stood out. I really haven't been thinking about this stuff very much.
All right. We only have 60 seconds, so I'm just gonna push one last time, though.
I mean, there's one that's obvious, which is Jaden Daniels, right?
Jaden Daniels for Offensive Rookie of the Year is the obvious one.
If we voted today, yeah. I would have to do a ton of research on every award, but
one. You wouldn't even have to worry about that one. That's right.
No, that's not true. Assistant Coach of the Year would go to Brian Flores.
Who would be the Coach of the Year to you?
I would lean O'Connell. But I don't know. There's multiple good ones.
Yeah.
Coordinator of the year, though, Flores is running away with right now.
So much more football to be played. But nice of you to sort of just indulge us on that, because we are bettors after all. And so we're curious what one of the minds of one of the voters is. And yours is always a generous one, Aaron. And we always appreciate it. @ashots_NFL on Twitter.
It's just @ashots_NFL, no underscore.
No underscore. @ashots_NFL, SCHATZ. And again, FTN. Check out all his stuff on his Twitter. And again, the website again, Aaron, is
FTNFantasy.com. And so, yeah, Shana Tova to you, my friend.
Happy New Year, sir. Thank you, Aaron. Jason Weingarten on the other side.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you ready to try something different? Sign up to start playing the ponies on First Bet. First Bet, U.S. based, and offers wagering on hundreds of races every day from across the country and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSiN200. That's VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. It's Gil Alexander live from the Circa Resort and Casino here in lovely, beautiful downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. Always appreciate the feedback. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Best listeners in the game. This is from Adkadakia. Hope I'm saying that right. Aaron Kodak. It's been 30 minutes and I'm still cracking up at the Ray J reference. LOL. We have more Ray J tweets than anything. Bets by Berg. We just going to pass over that Ray J reference. I did refer to it at the end of the segment. I said Jethro telling Ray J how amazing this guy is. But the specifics of his Ray J reference, I did not. You're right. I didn't mention anything about that. This is from Jason Stark. I think DVOA is a prisoner of the moment with these best ever in the last 2 years, whether it be the San Francisco Baltimore last year and how these 2-2 teams are doing now. I think it shows the flaws in DVOA's accuracy. I'm going to disagree. I don't think it shows flaws. I think all it's doing is letting you know, right? Letting you know what has taken place per the granular level. I don't think the San Francisco and Baltimore thing was wrong last year. I just think you have in Patrick Mahomes this, again, NFL hack that can, and I don't mean hack that he's bad. I mean, he can hack the entire system. He's that good, right? So it doesn't take away from the DVOA rankings. What I tried to do here today, specifically in the award market, is, all right, what about these first 4 weeks? Can you project forward? Hey, it's interesting that New Orleans is 2-2. Do you feel good about that moving forward? New England did win a football game in the first four, but how do you feel about them now? And he says, oh, well, they have injuries. They'll get to 5, not to 7. So it's a tool like any other, but I don't think it's a prisoner of the moment. I think it's as good a reflection of what has taken place that there is. It's just our job to sort of, as bettors, then see what is signal and what is noise moving forward. This is from RB Treff. My mild Wisconsin accent won't let me say anything but Jaguars and Bengals, even Bengals, even if I really focus. But I was shocked to hear that you can say Commanders now so accurately. Never heard it before. Usually have to choke it out to say it. LOL. It's been a long time. I'm trying. It's really hard for me. It's really hard. I'm not going to lie. Table Max. Gotta love hearing support for Detroit's pitcher-pitcher woo-woo approach for today's game. Hashtag rep Detroit. That's clever. Pitcher-pitcher woo-woo. It's exactly what it is. That's their approach. This is from Rich Eng for Pro Pick. He says, great take, Gil, on Pete Rose. I first met Pete during my years as the PR director at Turfway Park. Saw him daily in the fall, winter, and spring during downtime from MLB. Nobody loved baseball more than Pete. He was his own worst enemy for sure, but it hurt Pete to not be in the Hall of Fame. I thought one of the more interesting tweets we got, and forgive me for not remembering exactly who said this yesterday, but he's like, you know, part of the, he felt that part of it was Major League Baseball and writers knew, well, Major League Baseball for instituting the ban and keeping it all these years, even though Pete was his worst enemy, they knew that it hurt Pete so much, and that's part of why they kept it going, which is, if that's the case, man, that's awful. And then one more here. From 702 Steve Sports, he says, instead of the Washington football team going for Adams, Devontae Adams in a trade, what if they pull off a similar trade they did with Montez Sweat to the Bears last season that helped vastly improve Chicago's defense? So maybe Max Crosby is the correct Raider to go after? Hashtag playoffs. I don't think Max Crosby wants out of Las Vegas. I think Max Crosby wields more power here in Las Vegas with his franchise than anybody. I don't think he wants to go anywhere. He might even have more power than the coach himself, based on some of his off-season thoughts that sort of manifested. Let's go to Jason Weingarten, everybody. He's waiting patiently, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. He joins us now from under a cloud of smoke, as they say in Southern California. And by they, I mean me. Jason, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Good. By the way, have I asked you about Spreadopedia database? I asked you about this once. Does it still exist anywhere?
No, it's... Doesn't exist anywhere anymore.
Doesn't exist anywhere. Okay. There's your update, everybody, on the Spreadopedia database. Okay. How'd you do yesterday in Major League Baseball, the quartet of games?
Good. I had the Tigers in the morning, and I thought that was probably the best game. Pretty light rest of the day. I did bet on the Braves. I don't know what I was thinking there. So gave a little bit of a back late. The first innings went 2-2. All in all, can't really complain.
Are you betting every yes there will be a run in the first inning today, most likely?
Haven't decided. Price-wise, it's probably going to be good again. Doesn't mean I feel like doing it. I'm not sure, but yeah, I'll probably end up doing it.
What did you... I'm going to guess you will. I would like to bet on you betting all four of them. what did you end up betting-wise other than that today?
I bet the under in the first game. I got 7.5. You can get it -120 now. It's still good. It's the Astros-Tigers game. And then I got the Padres. Padres -112 in the late game. I think they're going to end the Braves season tonight. Give Braves credit for playing to the end and clinching on the last day. But the Padres really absolutely did the correct thing, forcing the Braves to play the doubleheader on Monday and losing on Sunday. And it's kind of funny to me to think, like, all year, you know, you spend all year handicapping baseball and trying to find all these edges, and then one of the biggest edges comes on literally the last day of the season where you just bet against the Padres because they essentially have to lose to force the Braves to play. And, you know, now we're in this situation. Hopefully can make another bet here and you know, win on the Padres. But that was just a crazy situation on Sunday. I really, you know, you don't get those very often, and it was cool to capitalize on something like that.
Yeah, it was crazy on Sunday. It was even crazier on Monday, right, with the Braves-Mets doubleheader where the Mets won in dramatic fashion and then could just basically hack away in game two like they were double parked outside. You know, even
I think Monday was a super important lesson in not hedging too much when you're, you know, worrying about a final event because, you know, the Chris Sale thing and everything. I could have ruined my day, week, month, everything by betting way too much on the Braves to win that first game or live betting. That was a crazy outcome, but great game. I actually went and walked my dogs when the score was 6-3 and came back. Oh. And I missed the Lindor home run. I walked in the door. I saw 8-7. I said, wow, what did I miss?
Let's explain to people what you're talking about, because I think there is a betting sort of lesson in this. So you had Chris Sale most strikeouts for the entire season. You needed Sale to get, was it three or four more? Three to tie, four to win. And remember, the situation was that the Braves were going to play game one hoping. Now, we didn't know about back spasms at the time, right? But the theory.
But don't forget, I said on the show one or two times ago, I thought he was hurt, you know, and then they were sort of slow playing it. And that's pretty much exactly what happened. And right afterwards, Sale said, I've had back spasms since the last start. And that was the velocity drop we saw in the, you know, the downtail and his peripherals and everything. And, you know, here we are. So I was prepared for this. I was not shocked, so to speak.
Yeah, but what you were pointing out, though, was that you might have played the Braves in game one to win as a sort of knowing that if they won the first game, he wouldn't go at all. Let's say he was completely healthy, that he wouldn't have gone in game two for all we knew he was. But you decided not to do that. And that was a good move because you could have doubly ruined your situation.
I did for like $2,000. I mean, I could have done it for 15 or 20 and yeah, it would have just been a very, very poor start to the week. And, you know, those are not fun to do. So I'm glad I avoided that this time.
Okay. So you only played the Padres in terms of a side today?
Padres in the under in the first game.
Padres in the under in the first game. I don't know that I asked you this. I asked this of Borchardt and I asked this of Spore, and their answers are interesting. So, Borchardt sort of punted on who's meeting in the World Series. He said the Padres. Borchardt did today. Spore, ultimately in the end, I think he said that his Tigers are not going to get. He said yesterday the Tigers are going to win. This was yesterday. They're going to win game one, then they're going to get beaten by the Astros. And he thought it would be the Padres versus, I believe, the Yankees, he said. Who do you believe ends up in the World Series in what is the most open baseball postseason I can ever remember?
I don't think it's going to be one of these wild card teams. I think it's going to be from the Dodgers-Yankees sort of pool. The Guardians, that sound crazy?
No, you know, I have them in a few matchups, yeah.
So, you know, like you said, it's wide open. I want to see what the Guardians could do. But at the end of the day, you look at a team like the Yankees, Judge, Soto, middle of the lineup. I still think they're going to be the team to beat in the AL. NL, I don't know. Dodgers, everyone's worried about their pitching. I guess I'm going to go with Borchardt and say Padres. They look good all year. Let's see if they can keep it going a little longer.
Last question. Tomorrow, how many games are we going to have? 0, 1, 2, 3, or 4?
I want to say 1 or 2. It wouldn't surprise me if the Mets get it done tonight, too. It's been a long season playing back-to-backs, and you know, some of these teams have been playing all Sunday and Monday. It's going to add up. But I do think the Mets can get it done.
All right. Jason Weingarten right here. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Kelly and I coming back. We'll get Kelly back here on a numbers game next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, coming up at the top of the hour after a numbers game, Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni. Stormy got in today? Matt Brown. Do you know who Matt Brown is?
Yeah, it's like creep hanging outside the window.
Hovering over your shoulder. What a creep. Total creep. Stormy and Matt should be a great 2 hours on Money Moves. Then after that, Prop Points with John Hansen for an hour. And then Make It Rain with Adam Shine. Your VSiN schedule coming up after a numbers game right here. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Again, best listeners in the game. This is from 3Jack, H3131. Take a poll. How many loyal listeners caught the on-air muffled snort/chuckle after Borchardt dropped the hitting from the front and back comment. What's next on the show? Side to Side by Ariana Grande? Are the request lines open?
You want to peel back the curtain even more on that? I don't know how many times I've been concerned about Gil losing it on air. I was concerned. I almost lost, and I had to do the full turn away, not even to, like, so we couldn't catch, like, we couldn't make eye contact because I was about to lose it.
It's only funny because it's Borch.
Yes.
It's the last guy you would expect to do to say anything like that. And the fact that he even knows who Ray J is.
I know. Right?
Jamie Leyva, or it could be Jaime Leyva. Did Bass Winner just say what I think he said, dropping the X-rated Ray J reference? How does the sneaky, freaky brother feel about this? I think he's referring to me. Inject this show into my veins. Oh, have man. A great day, gentlemen. You as well, Mr. Budley. And then this is from, I want to get this right. I want to attribute it to the right person here. This is from that guy, expert, who says, I meet with my head coach and analytics staff for 2 hours every morning on this show between 8 to 10 Mountain Time. I'm ready to take on the books. Thanks, staff. Thank you, expert on that. And Manny Davison, one more. I'm sorry, I lied. I appreciate how transparent Aaron was about how he votes. It's talked about all the time how MVP is a quarterback award, and that confirms that is how voters view it as well. Yeah, those are the nuggets that I think are great with Aaron. Let's not fool ourselves. MVP is a quarterback award. Offensive player of the year is sort of this repository for every other offensive player who's not a quarterback who performs the best. Anytime we try to talk ourselves out of that, remember the only times are going to be if somebody does something ridiculous who's not a quarterback who could somehow become an MVP. But otherwise, that's how it is. The other thing, I thought that Brock Purdy comment was very telling.
Oh, yeah, that, and I mean, and then we've been wondering about it, comeback player of the year, right? It was the confirmation on Sam Darnold, like, don't
vote on him.
Burn your money away, but you know what? He didn't seem like he fully knew what to do with DeMar Hamlin either.
Well, I think I sort of sparked that, and he was like, oh, that's a good question. Yeah. I hadn't thought about that.
I mean, he was leaning to what I said on air last week. Not that I agree with this, but if you're going by the letter of the law now, I don't know that it fully carries over to this season.
Are you ready for the larceny smooth bet of the week?
You bet I am.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the larceny smooth bet of the week, presented by Larceny Wheated Bourbon. Locking a win and seize tonight. Bardstown, Kentucky, 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely. Kelly can drink wisely. I'm not sure if he can think wisely while he's drinking wisely. It's a tough thing.
Wow. Yeah. That's
maybe
fair.
You came with
that's fair. Though. Sometimes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to disparage you. I think you could do both.
I thought it was a fair comment.
Yeah, fair
just
comment.
A fair comment.
Just call him like I sees him.
Yeah.
All right. The Larceny Smooth Bet of the Week. I had this as part of my World Series matchups. I got it at 50-1 after one day, and I have six remaining. But and remember, I went crazy on these. But the one I like the best, and certainly after day one, it looks good. The Padres and the Tigers was a 50-1. It is now 30-1. Still, you know, pretty good. Again, if you believe that the whole Tigers theory again is you get Scooble for one game out of a best of three, you get him for two in a best of five. And by the way, you do get him for two. You would get him for game two and game five if necessary, because the schedule sort of plays out. It's lengthy enough where he'll be on super duper good rest on both of those. So that's the play on the Tigers. Again, it's a mix and match pitching situation. Besides Scooble, they really only have one starter, and the rest of it, like today, is just, it's complete patchwork, and that's how they've done as great as they've done. And yesterday was a great example of that. Scooble went six innings. Then you had Will Vest, Tyler Holton, who's going to be the opener today, Jason Foley, and then Bo Brisky getting that final out against Jason Hayward in dramatic fashion. Everybody's heart skipped a beat into Detroit, and those of us who have the Tigers. So the Tigers-Padres, those are all of mine that are still up, but the Tigers-Padres one is 30-1, and I feel the same way about the Padres that everybody else does. The way I would talk about the Padres is they are, along with probably the Phillies, I would say, if you're looking for the most balanced teams in baseball that are still out there, I would say it's the Phillies and the Padres. What I mean by that is great lineup, you know, the acquisition of Arias at the top of that order was just so awesome. Arias is the sort of modern day version of Tony Gwynn. I'm not saying he's as good as Tony Gwynn, but you get the idea. They're familiar with that kind of player at the top of the lineup. They've got power. Obviously, the bullpen was a strength of theirs, you know, going in, but they shored it up in the offseason. Michael and the starters, Michael King, as Will Hill would say, former Yankee great Michael King, who came over in the Soto trade, where Michael King was like, we got the best of this. Like, I can't believe the Yankees gave up all this talent. Part of that talent was himself. Yesterday, he went seven strong, didn't give up an earned run, five hits, 12 Ks against no walks as the Braves struck out a total of 15 times. But then Jason Adam came in and struck out three, struck out the side after that. The thing with the Padres on offense, by the way, the reinforcements in the bullpen, Jason Adam, as I mentioned, Tanner Scott as well. It's just super balanced starting pitching, relievers, and the lineup. You could say that about the Phillies. I'm not sure that any other team is strong in all three. I know the Royals had a good September when it came to their bullpen, but generally they're not. The real superpower of the Padres, when I bet the Royals for most wins in July, their superpower was that they don't strike out. There's one team better at not striking out than the Royals, and that's the Padres. The Padres strikeout rate, offensively we're talking now, the lowest in Major League Baseball, 17.6%. So you make contact, good things eventually are going to happen. And so the Padres and the Tigers, my World Series matchup of the six, I'd love it if any of the other five won too. But of the six, that's the one at current odds that I like the most.
Yeah, and obviously odds have moved on this from where you had it. But, keep in mind for people out there maybe considering betting this, if both these teams advance, it gets a whole lot shorter right away. Right? One more win by each of these teams, you're going way shorter than 30-1.
So I went crazy before the postseason started, but getting as many of them as I could get. Padres Tigers, 30-1 current price, even though I got it a little better than that, is your Larceny smooth bet of the week. And if you're feeling lucky, put your money and Larceny weeded bourbon where your mouth is. Whether you enjoy sipping it straight or mixing it in a cocktail, the true pros know Larceny raises the stakes in flavor with every pour. It won double gold at the 2024 San Francisco World Spirits Competition. Don't gamble with what's in your glass. Enjoy smoother sips no matter the spread, and seize tonight with Larceny Bourbon. Find a bottle near you at larcenybourbon.com. ANG is brought to you by Larceny Bourbon. Bardstown, Kentucky, 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely. And Kelly's only comment about this off-air was, when do I get to drink some of this stuff?
That's such a tease. We have the display bottle here. I need a sipping bottle.
See, the strategy is you drink an imperceptible amount of it every week. And then they won't notice, right? It's like the Office Space thing where they're like skimming off like fractions of pennies. Just skim off fractions of the bottle. And then only like 4 weeks in will they be like, hey, somebody drinking the bourbon?
You know, it's called drinking your parents' liquor cabinet when they're out of town and you're in high school, okay? You just fill it up with a little bit of water. You know, you just drink it down and then you fill it up with a little bit of water and that level never changes. Then you don't got to worry about it.
Did you have some golf you wanted to talk about?
Here? I do have a few golf bets this week at the wonderful Sanderson Farms Championship. New long shots pot up right now.
It's called long shots.
Two for one. We talked about the Alfred Dunhill Lynx, or Wes intelligently talked about the Alfred Dunhill Lynx, and Matt and I made stupid jokes off to the side. And then Sanderson Farms Championship, PGA Tour, over in Mississippi this week. We are into the fall swing. This is important for some of these golfers on the new schedule. You will only see me betting these lightly. Most of these are straight up birdie fest, and that's what we get out there this week. If you are looking for statistical profiles, distance off the tee is going to be big here. They are a little bit narrow fairways. You're playing less than 30 yards on average. So premium on accuracy and distance off the tee is what I really looked at. But then you need guys that can score on this course. It helped me, Gil Alexander, that Keith Mitchell was the short shot at this event, because it made it easier to skip by him. I need a break from Keith. Keith and I
need a break.
The relationship at the beginning of the year was awesome. Cash in top 20s. Yeah. The summer, it was a little bit rougher. We need a break, just a couple months at least, until we get to January. So just three bets for me this week. JJ Spahn, I think he's one of the class players in this event, period. But recent results, T26 at the Pro Core, T3 at the Wyndham, T9 going back to the 3M, so he does have some form here the past couple months. Johnny Vegas just picked up his first win over the summer, 35-1. I think he's got a good profile here. And then Charlie Hoffman, coming back from an illness here this past season, has been starting to pick it up here lately. Perfect kind of game fit for this course. Long off the tee, great on approach, can get hot with the birdies. So three outrights for me this week.
All right. Tomorrow, Zach and Crack. Zach Cohen, of course, on football, maybe some tennis. Crack, unscripted. And Kelly will tell his Wanda Sykes story. He and Matt Brown were out and about the other night, and they happened upon the comedian Wanda Sykes. Comedian/actress.
Not that long of a story, but yeah.
You're still telling it. Tomorrow on A Numbers Game. Story and Matt are next on Money Moves. Enjoy.